I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. All right, my guest today is Dominic Maesta, head coach of girls track and field at Sandia High School and cross country, formerly of Highland High School in Robertson in Las Vegas, New Mexico. He has won cross country title in 2003 with Robertson. Thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, it's always an honor. You know, I hardly ever have done many interviews, and you know, it's nerve-wracking, but it's fun at the same time.
Well, you know, I've been working with you for, 6 years now at Sandia, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun. I definitely had to get you on here.
Well, thank you, and that's what makes the interview a little easier, you know, since 2015, to be exact.
That's right, 2015 track.
Yes, sir.
So, How did you get into coaching?
So I was, you know, I was a runner, past runner at Las Vegas Robertson under Coach Art Abreu Sr. And he coached football and he coached track, you know, for many years. And after I graduated from high school, I went to college. You know, I was dating my wife at the time, and she was still going to high school with. They're always needing coaches. Coach Abreu always saw me around and said, "Hey, since you're hanging around, you can come and help me coach if you want. You could do middle school." And I was like, "Oh, let me think about it." And I thought about it for a bit. And, you know, he finally convinced me, and I said yes. And that's how I started. I think it was 1998, if I'm correct.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you just kind of almost fell into it.
Pretty much, yeah. Just hanging around, you know. My girlfriend's there, and there's Abreu, you know. Me and him, we got along really well. I was one of his athletes that he took care of really good, and, you know, it was nice.
You mentioned before that you ran in high school, too. How did you get into running?
So, it never crossed my mind, ever. I was a basketball guy, basketball player, loved baseball. I dibble-dabbled in football 1 year. My siblings were all athletic, and they did all the other sports except for track as well, especially baseball. My dad was a big baseball guy, and so was my other older brothers. They all loved baseball and were good at it. So next thing you know, I got into it, and to be honest, I was pretty darn miserable. I wasn't good at all, and what happened is I had the speed. I always had the speed. And I would basically try to take balls all day and get on the base that way. And I did. And the coach would have me steal most of the time. And, you know, I got pretty fortunate enough with my speed to get around the bases and score. Even my dad, they would say, get as – I wasn't a tall guy, honestly. They'd have me get as short, you know, squat as much as possible to get as little of a box for a pitcher to pitch to me, and that's how I got on base. And they always put me center field because, once again, my speed, I was able to chase down balls pretty easy, but I still was not the best. I was definitely could be you know, one of the costly errors out in the outfield, or strike out multiple times in a game and throughout the season. But I loved it. I'm like, you know, I still miss playing. It was scary to me. I see the ball coming in really fast. You know, at the time it was Little League. I don't think it was that fast. And Senior League as well. And now I'd close my eyes. Anytime a ball came in, I closed my eyes and would just swing just to hope and pray that it hit it. And that's where coaches can call in, especially in middle school. And he told me, he said, "Hey, with that speed, I could use you." And they certainly did.
And what was your events that you specialized in?
So I started off in the 100 and 200 and long jump. And and the coaches would put me in the 4x1 and 4x2. In middle school, I don't remember how many races we could do or how many events. I think it was 4. You know, I could definitely do just the 4x1. I don't know about the 4x2. But high school, that's where they put me in the 4x2 as well.
And now, did you ever dabble in cross country yourself?
Yeah, I did. I had, not had to, but my junior year, you know, first of all, Coach Abreu recommended if I'm not going to play football for him, I need to continue exercising and get in shape. And he wanted me to do something else, and he mentioned cross country, and I looked at him like, I think you're, you know, losing it a little bit, coach. But my future wife was a manager for the cross country team because her mom was the assistant coach, and they both convinced me to do it, and I did it my junior year. You know, cross country is a very social sport. It is amazing with the amount of friends you make, peers, coaches. It was really, really fun, you know, in that aspect of it. But, man, oh, man, it is one of the toughest sports, if not the toughest sports in high school athletics, you know. I know people are going to get mad, like, football, or something else. But, you know, I do love football, but cross country is a doozy. So I probably got in only 1 year, though. That's it.
And what did you learn from running cross country as opposed to doing your normal sprinting?
I learned how to pray. I'm kidding. Yeah, because it was, oh man, there was some long runs that I just, you know, we're religious people, but man, it was tough. I learned discipline, I'll tell you that, because, you know, you can't just quit and you can't just stop. The coach would send us, we'd all go on a bus, especially small town. We'd go up to the mountains. They'd drop us off somewhere, and the coach would say, all right, you know, boys run to the right, girls to the left, and I'll see you down the road. And the first time I thought, oh, see you down the road. Oh, that's not bad. So I thought, oh, I'm starting to hurt. I'll see the bus. Oh, didn't see the bus. I would start to walk, and I thought, oh, no, I'm going to get lost in mountains, mountain lion or a bear's gonna get me. It was terrifying. So I learned, all right, just toughen up and just keep going, you know, get in a certain zone and breathe. But it taught discipline, I'll tell you that. A lot of discipline and how to work hard, you know, how to get up every day. Because I tried to quit even, and you know, my parents do not believe in quitting. And before I even just left the team, I approached my parents. I said, hey, I don't know if I made out for this. I said, I'm a sprinter. I can't be doing this. And both my parents said, well, when you join a sport, you need to finish it out. And we're not quitters. So I did. I stuck it out, and it was good. You know, it was a heck of an experience, and I would definitely thank my parents for that one.
I'm sure you had some times when you were kind of mad at them as well.
Just a bit, but it was good. And my dad didn't understand it either. My parents were highly supportive. They always followed us places. And my dad would be like, so where do I go? And I said, I don't know, Dad. It's just, I start here, and the finish line is not too far away. So you can go there. And he's like, well, I want to see you. I'm like, I don't know where to put you, Dad. We run all over the place. He didn't understand the concept of it. You know, him and my mom, but they're very supportive. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, you talked about after high school you went to college, and that's, you got into coaching, kind of fell into it. Were you doing running in college?
No, I didn't get recruited a lot, but, you know, there was a few bites. For me, I got recruited to go run in New York. You know, you know, everybody in high school, especially small town, you fall in love. No way I was going to leave town, you know, leave my girlfriend. There's, you know, there's no way. And I stayed in town and did college and, of course, did the coaching. But, yeah, I got very little interest. But, you know, there was one in particular I really looked into, but I just couldn't do it. It was too far. You know, I'd be too sad, put it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
So you started out doing some middle school helping out. How did you end up moving up to high school?
So I moved up because they needed someone on the girls' side. You know, I was particularly with the boys, but I did middle school and it was both programs. That was Coach Abreu's program. And what happened is Coach Abreu retired from football and track, and they divided the program into two. They had just the boys, just the girls. And if you're a boys coach, you had the boys middle school and boys high school, and same thing with the girls. Well, I was happy just staying middle school and, doing that. But the new head girls coach invited me to the high school level, and I had some successful young ladies that ran for me. And, it wasn't too hard of a decision because I wanted to move up at the menu. So I did. I moved up, and it was a really amazing experience because I'm obviously still doing it. So
How long were you in Vegas?
I started, put it this way, I started in middle school in 1998. I left in 2008 up here in Albuquerque. And I stayed coaching. I was, from that amount of time. And I was a head coach from, if I'm correct, 2001 or 2002. I got to look all the way up until I left in Vegas. And I was head cross country coach, not track. I was an assistant track coach still.
So how did you end up with being a head cross country coach, but never moving up to the head track position?
Well, with the cross country, the head coach at the time, he was the head girls track coach as well. And it's a small town, we always need coaches. Different spots, basketball, cross country, just every level, middle school, you name it. He needed a middle school cross country coach. And I laughed. He told me, he said, "I'm serious." And I said, "I'm serious too. I don't know nothing about cross country. I ran 1 year, but, to me it was a blur," I told him, because it seems like I ran forever. Well, he said, "Oh, let's go to a coach's clinic. I'll give you a few workouts and we'll go from there." And he said, "Just have fun. Middle school's all about having fun." And I said, "You were right." So I did. I said, "All right, I'll do it." So I did middle school cross country for a year. And then the year after that, our head coach left. And, there was not many cross country coaches around to really take it over or even apply for it. And the school liked me and they said, "Well, you should apply for it." And I was like, "No, I'm good. That's a lot of responsibility. I'm not ready for it. I don't know how to even do it." And they said, No, we'll give you some leeway and we'll help you out. And whenever I do something, I always give 110%. And I said, "The only way I'm going to do it is if I'm all in." So I talked to my parents and they convinced me, and I did. I did it. I applied. I got the position, and it was cool. I did not know what I was doing at the time, but those coaches' clinics are very valuable. And I coach cross country, and like I coach sprinters, and it obviously paid off because our girls' program won the state championship in 2003 against a regionally ranked St. Michael's girls' squad. So it was cool, and I did make some distance in there, obviously, because it's cross country, but it was really worth it.
Again, we've known each other for a long time. I've known you since high school and I coach with you now. But my sister was a part of that winning cross country team, and I know it's something that she really enjoyed and really still takes a lot of pride in.
Yes, she was fun. That whole group was just amazing. I listen. The thing is the valuable lesson that a lot of coaches should do, just listen. Listen to the ones who came before us, learn from them and apply it to your program. You could have a hybrid, a mix. And I listen to my parents. It's very, very important to listen to your parents, listen to assistant coaches, even your dad. I love your dad immensely. He gave me advice. And you know what? There's sometimes I wouldn't use it. There's other times I'm like, "Oh my God, that's an amazing workout. I'm definitely going to steal that one." But that's what built a good program, and that's what made Las Vegas Robertson program that I was with, successful, tons of numbers. And your sister was huge, huge, because she worked really hard. It was not hard to coach her. It was amazing.
You know, again, when you guys won that championship, it was close, right? It was 1 point.
One stinking point, and I did not see it happening. I could see it's top three. You know, I was just hoping top three. I'll be happy. We'll go back home, coach other school. We'll be, you know, full of pride there and everything. And next thing you know, we pull off a 1 point victory, and it was considered a pretty decent upset at the time. You know, it's one of the major ones. No one even knew Las Vegas Robertson in cross country at the time, so it was pretty cool.
Right, and you guys had a celebration on the way back, right?
Small town. Oh, small town's amazing. Amazing. And that's the one thing that up here in Albuquerque, the metro, that I'm going to miss. Because I've never really won one up here, but I've never really seen a parade. So what they did is, coming back, we're pretty much all asleep. I was finally, and I mean finally, worn out after crying and hugging the trophy and calling people back home. We're getting close to town. I'd say about 10 miles out, this little town called Romeroville, on I-25. And a state policeman comes up behind the bus with the sirens on. I thought, oh, no. What did our bus driver do? I thought we're in trouble. So I went to go talk to her. And she says, I have to pull off. I said, ooh, forget it. I was getting so nervous. So we get on the on-ramp, and we're there, and you can see another state police car with all these cars lined up behind it. Like you see in the movies, whenever you have a really good basketball or football team that travels and have that long line, that was us. It was just like the movies. It got me emotional again. I thought, oh, my God, this is amazing. And bus driver was laughing. And the state policeman said, just follow me. And, oh, geez, just to hear the cars honking, sirens going, the kids woke up, screaming, we're going nuts. It was amazing. And to go through our little town of Vegas with the bus and honking the horn and people honking, oh, it was cool. We finally ended up at Walmart, of all places, and celebrating in the parking lot of Walmart before we go back to our gyms. So it's one of those things I'll never forget.
That's awesome. I'm sure the team will never forget that as well.
No. I need to have a reunion one of these years, that's for sure.
There you go. You know, so you were in Vegas until 2008, and then you came up to Albuquerque. When you came to Albuquerque, were you thinking that you wanted to go ahead and be a coach up here as well?
No, I was done, I'll be honest. I was just frustrated with when I left. You know, there was no jobs, especially for my wife. She finished teaching in a small town. I was able to approach the superintendent because it's a small town, you know. It's nice. So I made an appointment to go see him. And I even knew him personally. So I had a meeting, and I told him, hey, my wife is finished teaching her elementary ed. Is there any possible way that, you know, you can give her an interview at least? Because there was about two or three openings at the time. And at least he was honest with me. So, you know, looking back at it, I can't be mad, but I was a bit hurt, you know. And he's like, well, we already have other people in mind for the positions, which, of course, that's going to happen. That's life. So it was one of those hurdles. And, yeah, I was a little upset. So I told my wife, I said, hey, I know there's a bunch of openings up in Albuquerque, so let's just give it a try, especially for you. I want you to see what it's like teaching. So right away, she put her name in to certain schools, and she got hired really fast. There was really no time to really think about it, and I got another job for the evenings to take care of our newborn child at the time, and that's it. We had to leave, and she was teaching basically from 8 till 2, and my job started at 3 till about 10 or 11, so I really didn't have time to coach, and I was really not looking to it. And I told my wife, I said, I'm good with not coaching. I'm okay. I had a fun time. Won a state championship, you know, met a lot of amazing people, but that was about it. And yeah, I was out for, I would say, about 4 years.
And so what brought you back in?
What brought me back in? Being convinced, and I'm not too hard to convince, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the answer no is. You know, I could look up in the dictionary multiple times and it has no meaning to me. My wife then moved on to a middle school on the west side, LBJ Middle School. She was doing, I don't know if it was PE or health, and they got her into volleyball. So she was the head volleyball coach for the A team there at LBJ. And we move on to the track season, and the athletic director, she's an amazing lady, that's for sure, got my wife in a track, and, you know, she knew I was a coach. So she talked to me, and so did the wife, and I said, hey, we need another coach. And I said, I don't know if I want to do this. And my position moved when I first moved here. I, you know, wasn't indoors, and I had more flexibility. So I said, let me think about it. I don't know. And they said, well, we'd love to have you. The kids here are different. So I said, all right, I guess I'll dibble-dabble in it. So once again, it didn't take me long. I said yes. And it was fun. You know, however, it's middle school. I always want more. You know, I can't just go at the end of the season and just have a, you know, all the APS schools against each other and call it a day. I want to go for something bigger, you know. I've already tasted a state championship. I was getting hungry for another one. You know, that's why I wanted to stay away, because I knew once you get hooked, that's it, you know. It's hard. So I did that, and then I did middle school basketball. That was pretty fun. It was interesting. But it's just the way I got into it. Just things happen for a reason.
And so from there, you ended up at Highland, right?
That is correct. What happened is my brother was the head football coach at Highland High School. He did win 2 district championships there. He did a heck of a job. He was an amazing coach as well. You know, their head cross-country coach, Coach Andy Murray, needed help. So my brother said, hey, I know someone. So he told him about me, and once again, it wasn't too hard for me. And I was already actually really ambitious. I wanted to try new things. So, you know, I told Andy I'd go do it, and I did, and I was his assistant coach from 2012 to 2014, if I'm correct. And for girls track, I was there for 2014. So they needed a distance coach at the time. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. And Highland is an amazing school. Many traditions, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy Murray is someone who, you know, I've talked to several times, and he's just fun to talk to. And, you know, I've had Gary Sanchez on the podcast before, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. So I'm sure you were able to soak up a ton of things.
Oh, it's that school, like I said, a lot of tradition, so many state championships there. And Andy Murray, the reason why me and him got along so well is the year after I won it, in 2004, his boys squad unfortunately lost by 1 point. So he was on the other side of it, you know, of the coin compared to where I was. But still, it was very successful, you know. Coming out second or even third, a top 3 finish at the state level is amazing. To bring home one of those beautiful trophies is just an accomplishment within itself. And Andy has had many successes for many years, and he really knows what he's doing. Awesome. He's so fired up, and he's there for the right reasons. He's there for the kids. He's not even there for really winning. He's a heck of a guy. And then Gary Sanchez, oh my gosh, you know, he was the head boys track coach at the time as well. The amount of state championships he has, he was national coach of the year before. He's amazing. He loves the sport, loves cross country and loves track. And he coached football, of course, with my brother. He was his boss. You know, I can't say much, you know, anything else about that amazing school and those coaches. They're awesome. And the head girls coach at the time was Sean Armstrong. And he won a state championship in 2010, but only six girls. So that's amazing, you know. So it's good stuff.
Absolutely. It sounds like you've had a lot of people around you that you've been able to learn from and help influence your own coaching.
It has, and that's, you know, that's the cool thing about coaching is you really don't have, you know, you try to pick a philosophy, and you do, and we most of the time stick with it. But at the same time, we learn to evolve. You know, the kids evolve. They're different. They're different from 1998 than they are nowadays completely. And if you want to be a successful coach and how to work with these kids, you got to learn to evolve. You got to change different methods, the way that you talk with them, the way you interact, the way you give workouts. And that's what I've learned from Gary and from Andy is, how to evolve just like that. And they're amazing guys, man. It was, and the girls coach, Sean Armstrong, it's just, you know, many knowledge that they give down to everybody, you know, and they're willing to give it for free. Even though they're competitors with certain coaches, they don't care.
So through all this time, you were a head coach for cross country, but kind of an assistant for track, except for working in the middle school. Was there a reason you didn't want or weren't getting a head track position?
I never tried. It seemed scary to me, to be honest. It just, there's way more in track. Cross country is amazing and fun, and it's hard too. But track, there's so many aspects of it. So many coaches you got to hire. You got to have knowledge in pretty much everything with track and field if you want to be successful. That's why I didn't really dibble dabble in it. I was just petrified. I just don't want to screw up.
So what got you to the position where you ended up applying and then getting the head girls position at Sandia?
Well, my mom. It was my mom and family, but mainly my mom. You know, she missed seeing my brother be head coach, and she missed me seeing me being a head coach, especially in Vegas. So my brother saw there was a head girls opening at Sandia High School the summer of 2014, and he told me, he said, hey, you know, why don't you apply for it? I'm going to Sandia. Why don't you come along with me? I said, I'll be an assistant. I'm good. You know, I don't want to be head coach. Why not? And I said, it looks like there's a lot to do, especially 6A and especially APS. It looks pretty hard. You can do it. You've always been successful, you know, when you're not petrified to do it. And I said, I'm good. So I thought I was done with that conversation. Next thing you know, my mom calls me and she talks to me and she tells me, I want to see you be head coach. And I missed seeing your brother be head coach. And I just want to see you do it one more time. I was like, oh man, put the guilt trip on me. And she was sick at the time, really sick. So I did. I put my name in the hat. You know, I didn't have much confidence in it because I thought, well, I'm from Vegas. You know, I'm from small town. Why? One, would they give me an interview? And two, why would they hire me? I didn't think I had the credentials for it because this state is full of very knowledgeable coaches and a lot of success at the big school level compared to small school. You know, they call me in October and they gave me an interview for November 13th. I was ready for it. I said, all right, I guess I did call. I called up, I told my mom, I said, hey, I'm ready for an interview. It was November 13th. And she got excited. She said, all right, you're going to do well. I said, yeah, I'm going to put my best effort into it. You never know. I just don't want to be disappointed if I didn't get it. You know, I don't want to get too excited. My mom said, you'll be okay. Well, unfortunately, the sad part is my brother called me November 12th. I think it was around 10 o'clock, 10:30, and he was just devastated, you know, calling, you know, talking to me over the phone, and he said, you need to leave school. Something happened to mom. I thought, what? No, what's happened to mom? He said, she's dead. And I said, she's dead? How could she be dead? I said, she's going to go meet her new doctor. And he said, no, she passed away. She just, especially on the doctor's table, she went to sleep basically, and I was devastated. You know, I was at school at Highland. Luckily, I didn't have a class, so I went downstairs and I told them, "Hey, I got to leave. This happened," and they were devastated because, of course, they know Derek as well. You know, we all met at Derek's house, my brother. I didn't know if I could do the interview. I was devastated. And Sandia called me, and I think it was Larry Elder at the time, and he said, "Hey, I'm giving you my condolences. You know, sorry to hear about your mom. And if we need to move the interview, we could definitely move it." And I said, "No, I can't do that." And I said, "I promised my mom I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to do it. And my siblings will not let me back out either." So we're gathered there at my brother's house, and everybody's prepping me for it. They're asking me important questions, and I thought I was doing pretty good. And the next day, you know, I knew people were going to come over to my brother's house to come give condolences and such, but I did it. You know, I said a prayer before I left. I went over to Sandia. There was, I felt like the best interview in my entire life. I don't know. I felt at ease. I felt my mom was with me, and it was just going fantastic. And they called me a few days later, and they said, "Do you want it?" And I said, "Heck yeah, I want it. I'm gonna do this." And I kept thinking of my mom and my dad, and I said, "I'm just going to put 110% into it."
Well, that's amazing, and I'm sure, you know, she would be happy to see where you're at now.
Yes, definitely. I'm still just been just disappointed and just felt, you know, I still don't feel happy with. But I knew things happen for a reason. That's just life. Like I keep saying, it's life. You know, the whole COVID-19 thing. You know, I feel like every other coach, that's your year. But honestly, I feel this is our best team we've ever had. And I felt that we had a real legitimate shot to win it all. And I wanted to do it for her, and I wanted to do it for my dad too, you know. And I wanted to go see their graves and go talk to them and go tell them, "Hey, Mom, we did it." But it happens, and we just got to move on. And you know, and I'm always a positive guy. I'm never negative, really. And I know that I'm gonna be able to get the coaches together, get the girls together, and we will hit it hard next year, and probably even more, because I'm more determined, and so are the girls.
Right. And you touched on it, going and seeing your dad's grave, and he passed away just before this season as well, as we were kind of talking about our chances this year.
Yep, January 8th, and that was another hard hit. Oh, it hit me hard, but it hit hard all of us, and I thought, here we go. All right, not only for my mom, I'm doing it for my dad, because he follows. He'll go to track meets, you know, when he could, you know, when he wasn't too sick, and he'd go to cross country as well, but we're ready to go. And yeah, he unfortunately passed away, and I just thought, it's, you know, this is it. I'm gonna go to their graves and take the trophy and just celebrate with them, basically.
And so, to kind of move on maybe a happier note, but you know, over these years, you've really grown Sandia's girls' track program. You know, the last couple of years, third at state, second at state, looking to be one of the top teams at state again this year. You know, how did you build it up from where the program was before you got there?
I basically did it like I did at Robertson. For me, it's the sport I love so much. Just like cross country, I love it as well. And I just want these young ladies, or even young men, when I do cross country, I want them to go out, and I want them to enjoy the sport, learn something new. Track has multiple events. If one event does not work, move on to another one. So I try to get as many as possible, you know, and I'd go see the soccer matches if I had to, basketball matches, swim meets, whatever. I wouldn't go do swim meets, but I'd go talk to the swim kids, try to get as many out as possible. First year we had, I think, 50. And then the year after that, we had about mid-60s, and we finally got up to into the 70s. And, you know, that's all I want. I just want participation. and I want them to enjoy it. And I don't want them to just quit because I don't care for coaches or other runners. I want them to try to stick it out as much as possible, you know? And I get, this is my, you know, recruiting plan is I'll give them 5 days and I tell them, hey, just give me 5 days. That's it. You know, a week's worth. And if you don't like it after the 5th day, then you can go. You can quit. It's no big deal. Just let me know. And it won't be awkward in the hallways, you know? You don't have to run away from me. Just tell me hello and I'll tell you hello as well. And I'm not going to be upset at you. That's the way it works. And I'm hoping it'll continue to be successful that way.
So you're talking about Vegas doing some of the similar things to recruit. What are some of the differences between working at a smaller school like Vegas and a larger school like Sandia?
Kids are kids. That's the same thing. But other than that, you get more athletes. You know, I know Vegas, we of course always had athletes, but you get more of a choice, more choices, you know. In Las Vegas, my cross country team with girls, at least, the most we had was maybe 13, 14. And even for track, we maybe had the most was 30. And for us, we're like, wow, this is a huge team. And then I come over here and we have 70. And it's a matter of numbers, you know, it's always numbers. And in Las Vegas, we would have that, geez, that one star, that one amazing athlete that's, you know, far better than the rest. And here at APS and, you know, 6A, 5A, we don't have one. We'll have, especially in the sprinter side, we'll have 6, 7, you know, that are tough. And of course, you'll still have your 2 or 3 really standouts, but gap between the talent is not very, very big. And it is so cool to have those type of numbers to coach. And it's amazing to see the things they can do, especially over the past 3 years. We've been blessed to have this particular one that Fitz Dave has actually never seen before, like her. So it's definitely different.
And talking about different, again, this track season has ended up a lot different than anybody could have expected. How are you keeping the girls motivated? And even now the cross country team, as we're moving into kind of preseason for that.
Just constantly trying to talk to them, you know, try to send messages out to them. Like, we're going to be okay. Don't forget to continue running. I also tell them I'm thinking about you. I care about you. We got to definitely get started again, especially cross country. It's coming up pretty quick. Just, you got to do little things like that. I definitely got to have a online, like a Google Meet or a Zoom, just to see their faces and they can see our faces and keep them involved and check on their health, check on their mental health. You know, everything's so important nowadays. I just don't want a kid to get lost, basically.
Right, that sounds like a pretty good plan. What's been your biggest disappointment in coaching?
This year, just like coronavirus, it's hard. There's been some good years, there's been some years that have been okay. But to me, I try to keep it in perspective. It's not about wins or losses. It's not about pulling home trophies every year. It's just about seeing the kids, socializing with them, seeing them enjoy each other, seeing them, we have barbecues, spaghetti dinners, little things. Those little things are amazing. It's beautiful to see. And that's always been life. That's been our American society, just seeing kids grow with each other. And not seeing that, just, it hurts. It is. It's every day. It's just, we're stuck at our homes, and I understand completely that we need to be safe and we need to make sure we get out of this, okay? It's just, it's hard not seeing them. It's probably, and not probably, I know it's hard for them not seeing us and seeing each other, but keeping it positive, and I'm telling them we're going to get out of this and we're going to come out stronger than ever, and we're going to conquer together because we're one family. That's what it is. I always tell them it's a family thing. We take care of each other. That's what families do. We take care of each other. So I'm hoping, you know, that we can come out of it, you know, as a family still. But yeah, this was disappointing. It hurts.
So to move on to something a little bit more positive, what do you feel is your biggest success from coaching?
Wow. My biggest success is just being a head coach and building all these relationships throughout the years. I think someone was talking about, man, I don't know if I saw something on TV or even the past coaching clinics. But for example, say we're doing track and we have 70 girls that are out. And I've been doing this since 1998, minus 4 years. If I've been doing this for 16 to 20 years, I don't even know the numbers anymore. That is thousands of young adults, young athletes that have blessed my life, and I'm able to help bless their life. I'm always coming to this coaching thing, trying to change one person at a time, one individual at a time. And some years it happens to be almost a whole team, basically, positively, and that's always been my goal, and that's been my success, is just being blessed to be around these wonderful young individuals year in and year out.
Well, and about those young individuals, what would you like to say to your seniors that are leaving that didn't have a chance to prove themselves one last time?
Oh, that's a hard one, man, because there's nothing that us adults or coaches could tell these wonderful young ladies at all, because it's devastating, and it hurts. You know, it hurts me, because I want to see them graduate. I want to see them excited, you know, with their cap and gown. I, you know, see them at these award ceremonies up at Sandia, and you know, when I talked with them, I didn't want to talk to them together as a group. I called them each individually just to talk to them and tell them like what I'm saying now. There's no words that can explain what's going on. And I wish them nothing but the greatest success, because they're successful young ladies with us. We're going to be there for them when it's all said and done. I want to see them, and I want to just give them a high five or whatever is acceptable at the time. And just, they're going to grow. They're going to grow to be wonderful young ladies. They're going to be very successful in life. But I just want them to be positive and believe that this thing's going to be over, and believe that they're going to be very successful in life. But it hurts. This thing just hurts overall. Just, I get very emotional with it. And the girls, I've gotten emotional with them when I talk to them. But we're going to get over it. You know, it's going to get better. I believe it's going to get better. And I, you know, I try not to listen to the negative stories every day. You know, I know news is very important, and you know, it's good to hear what's going on. But at the same time, I limit myself, because I don't want that negativity to own me ever. I want to always be positive every day. So that's, you know, that's what I've told them before too. I'm like, just try not to watch too much negative stuff, and just be positive every day.
You know, I've been around you for a while now, and it goes back to what you've talked about and how close you are with your family, how close your parents were with you, and I really see you bring that into our track program. And so when you talk to the girls, it is very much in a as part of the family.
It is, and that's what I try to bring in. You know, there'll be some coaches are like, "Well, why do you have your family here and your wife come with y'all everywhere?" And to me, that's it. We're family, and I want them to be part of everything. I want them to be part of the team, and I want the girls to see that I'm a family guy. You know, and they should be too. You know, invite their grandparents, their moms and dads and cousins to come see them participate. You know, and I want our girls to take care of each other in school all the time, in the classroom. And if any one of our fellow, whatever, the teammates need help, help them out with schoolwork. Help them out with everything in school. Help them out in life. And it's nice to, especially for cross country, with the we have some getaway dinners, to see families invite all the kids over, all the athletes over, boys and girls. And see them enjoying themselves. They'll go to a park nearby where the house is at, and they'll go play football or frisbee, and then come back and eat, and they laugh. and they enjoy it. And that's family. Family's always eating together, you know, always playing together, doing things with each other. That's why I like to bring my family in and have them part of it. And I see your family getting part of it too. And it feels good. It feels good to have them all involved. But I just want them to see that, be a family, and to move on and to enjoy family first.
Well, and speaking about family, you know, your wife is doing coaching at the middle school level. Your oldest daughter just graduated, but she ran 4 years for Sandia. Your oldest son is now a freshman, or was a freshman, and running for Sandia. Has that ever been difficult, having to manage the coach and the parent role?
That was one thing I was petrified of. I was scared, but then I listened to other coaches, how they did it, and my perspective is when we step onto the track, you know, it's business, and we work. We have a fun time, but we get to work. And, you know, I didn't want to coach my daughter directly. I want to do it indirectly. And that's why I was happy to give her over to you, because I didn't want to have conflict between me and her, because we have a good relationship, me and my daughter and my son and all my kids in general. And I gave her over to you, and, you know, she'd come to me and be like, "Dad, can't I ever be Marston?" I'm like, "No, you got to wait your turn. You got to talk to, you know, Coach Seb, and he'll let you know when you're ready, and he'll let me know." And that's just the way it is. And she would want to talk track coming home. So would my wife, or even at home. I said, "No, we're not talking anything. We're going to enjoy each other. You know, we're going to play games, board games. We're going to watch TV together, eat dinner together, but I don't want to talk about any business. You know, we're going to be a family." And we've had our times where they want to chime in and they get me a little riled up, but then I come back and I get back into family mode, and that's what it should be. You know, and it is. It's not easy, and it's easier said than done, but darn it, it's working. And that's the way I've always wanted it to be.
That's good. That's a good lesson. You, like we talked about, have kind of jumped around. You started at middle school, your assistant, head cross country, back to assistant, middle school. What would you say to someone wanting to get into coaching?
What would I say? I'd say, come on in. You know, the water's warm. It's a bit choppy at times, but you're going to survive. And you will learn to swim, because it's fun. And it's amazing, because not only do we touch that one life and multiple lives, they touch our lives forever. Some will never forget, because, you know, we could be down the road, and, you know, even Coach Williams, he's on our staff, and he's a legend within himself. And the stuff he says about the kids that have touched him before, you know, it's priceless. You know, it's priceless. And I tell him, don't be scared, you know. Like me, if you've ever came into my staff, our team, it's a team. And I hate saying my sometimes. I don't want to talk about my accomplishments. It's a team thing. And if somebody comes in and they're a distance coach or a throw coach or jump coach, you know, I want them to go in there and I want them to screw up. And I know it sounds kind of crazy. And maybe other coaches are like, what in the world are you saying? It's crazy. You know, why would you tell your coach to do that? But, you know, they need to learn, just like the kids. They learn with the kids. And the only way you're going to learn is to, you know, making mistakes. You got to go to coaches' clinics. You got to see what other coaches have to say. Learn different methods. You know, grow. Grow as a coach. Not just like the athletes are growing, you're growing as well. And with that, you're only going to learn, you know, if you make a mistake with a certain athlete and you learn from it in a positive way, man, the sky's the limit. You know, sky's the limit. Not only are the waters going to be less choppy, you're going to be able to go through it pretty easy.
What's your go-to workout?
Go-to workout is from my hero. My hero is Carl Lewis. And when I first brought that one in, the kids are like, "Who's Carl Lewis? Did he ever beat Bolden?" I said, "No, they're in different time frames, but he's a legend within himself. You know, he held a 100-meter world record there for a while you know, I told him about him, and the kids were grabbing on to what I was telling him, and I said his best workout we go to was 150 meters. And they're like, that doesn't seem too hard. And I said, well, we got to run it pretty hard. Of course, I make it harder throughout the season. We do it times 10. We do it about 95% of the potential, maybe 98 certain times if we can get there, if it's realistic. Then run it, and the girls finally, they finally became accustomed to it. They wouldn't complain about it as much. I say, you know, it's better than doing 400s, that's for sure. But yeah, that's my go-to.
What keeps you excited about the sport?
Just meeting new faces every year and seeing us grow and seeing us be more competitive. And just, you know, every year I'm meeting someone new and seeing them just break new barriers, especially in Sandia. We've just been breaking barrier after barrier. I'm just seeing girls, because I'd like to give a top 10 of all time at every school. And I learned that from Highland, as a matter of fact. That's a Highland High School thing. I can't take it myself. You know, I've seen them just, seeing all the girls from 2015 and up, seeing us fill the top 10 of all time at Sandia, and it's amazing. It's cool. And that's what gets me motivated, just newer girls, newer athletes, different personalities, and even different coaches throughout the state. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, my last question is, what's your go-to song to get you pumped?
That one's a good one. That one's from Las Vegas. That's from the Coach Abreu years, you know. That's coming out from being introduced during football games and Las Vegas Robertson and basketball games. These are the ones where I always got introduced to. And it's AC/DC, Thunderstruck. And it gives me the chills every time I listen to it, because I could just see myself coming out to a basketball court being introduced to it. And, you know, I would have the old school Walkmans. I was going to say walkie-talkie. The Walkmans. Those things are bulky and huge, and listening to it before I ran the 100 meters, oh, man. That thing was just, it's priceless. It's one of the priceless ones. And I still listen to it to this day, and my son has embraced it. My oldest son, we'd be going to his football games, and he's like, Dad, play it for me. I put it on, and there he is in the back seat, slowly rocking and getting ready for it. You know, letting it motivate him, and it motivates me. I'm ready to start running or doing something. But that's my go-to.
Awesome. Well, that's all I got for you. Do you have anything that you'd like to say before I let you go?
No, I'd say thank you, and you know, it's a humbling experience, especially to be interviewed, and you know, just it's one of those things that I really enjoy and I love it, and I can't believe I'm doing it again after I was out for 4 years. I vowed I was done. I vowed I'd never go to another track or cross country meet, because if I saw it just once, I knew I'd be hooked, and I knew I'd start talking to other coaches, and I'd be back into it. And I'm glad it happened, and I'm glad everything happened the way it did. And just always keep positive in life. That's what it always is come back to positiveness and be humble about things.